There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Man, did this dude just did this?
With the 20th pick in the 2016 NBA Draft, the Indiana Pacers select Caris LeVert from the University of Michigan.
The problem is you don't want to mess with a bat because, as you may know, they can be ratted.
But there goes Artest after somebody in the stands. And he is going after a fan, and he is waylaying a fan, and this thing is now getting ugly.
Got them all?
Justin Holliday has come in all three.
Do we have them all?
He did first time in NBA history that three brothers on the floor at the same time.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Born Ready to Pod Podcast. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. We already know the NBA and NHL is in full swing. The women's and men's college basketball tournament is in full swing with Sweet 16 and Elite 8 action right here, right now, this weekend. And so is the $100,000 Bracket Madness contest at BetOnline. It's the spot to be for all your bracketology needs. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Can you believe that? It's free. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's right. If you put $100 in, you get $50 in free bets. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. If you're not buying your sneakers from eBay Sneakers, what are you doing? I literally spent $300 on sneakers today. I bought the Air Max 90s, the Stan Smith greens, and some low-top Nikes for the summer. From rare dead stock to the latest release, you can find the exact sneaker you've been looking for on eBay, the original sneaker marketplace. eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. In partnership with eBay, Armchair Media will be raffling off four custom-made sneakers. Each purchase you make before March 31st through ebay.com/sneakers will enter you in a drawing for one of one pair of Air Force One low tops. Just send a screenshot of your purchase to @armchairmedia on Twitter or Instagram. With eBay's authenticity guarantee, your sneakers are meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators, so you know you're getting the best deal and the best sneaker every time. ebay.com/sneakers, and it's free to sell sneakers on eBay. Up to $100 and over sneakers are sold for free on eBay. So get there, buy, sell, do whatever you got to do. Do it now. eBay.
Welcome back to a special edition episode here of the Born Ready to Pod podcast. My name is Chris Cook, and joining me here today, Eric Hawk, and the other guy decided to not join us here today. So not sure where he's at, but he's been Heismaning for about the last hour. So looks like it's just going to be us two today, Hawk.
That's fine. That's the way I prefer it anyway.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, you know, I'm under the weather today. I had to stay home from work. You know, just had a rough night last night. Had one of those stomach bugs, and, you know, I'm just persevering through, and here I am recording with you. So I'm not really sure what his excuse is, but I know he doesn't have a better excuse than I do at this point. So
no.
What do you want to talk about first? I mean, we got a couple things to talk about here. Game last night, a little recap on that. We had the trade deadline moves today. So what do you want to get into first here?
I mean, we could start with the game last night just because I feel like it's fresh on everyone's mind. I didn't really watch a lot of it. I was playing poker on Wednesday nights, but I did see the LeVert step back. And I think in the last – we've won 3 of 4. Detroit's not a great team. I don't even know what they did necessarily to make it close, but a win's a win, and LeVert looks good, and that's what we've wanted for a long time.
Yeah, the Pistons aren't good. They're 12-31. They played a lot of competitive games this year, but they just can't close things out. Pacers have struggled mightily at home this year.
Yeah.
I believe they had lost 6 straight at home going into this game, so they have not been playing well at home. And so this was a win that they really desperately needed. you know, against a bad team at home, you can't give games like this away, especially after, you know, the games they had just played recently before all those tough games that were on the schedule. But if you look at, you know, not just this game, but looking ahead, I mean, schedule gets a lot easier. And I know we've been very pessimistic with how this season's played out, and a lot of fans have as well, rightfully so. But I'm not saying there's light at the end of the tunnel. I won't say that, but maybe there's like a, you know, maybe we can see, you know, maybe a glimmer or some type of sunshine at the end of the tunnel. I'm not saying the light's fully there. We don't know how this thing's going to end. But if you look at that schedule coming up, there's a good chance for, you know, this team to rally off some wins and get ahead of 500, you know, for the first time in what seems like, you know, 20 years. Mm-hmm. So right now they sit at 20 and 23. They're currently the 9 seed. And so, you know, how the playoffs have shaken out the play-in games from 7 to 10 this year. So right now they would qualify to play in that play-in. But they're only a game they're only 2 games back behind the Hornets, who are currently the 4 seed. So yeah, I mean, there's plenty of opportunity for this team to rise up in the standings. You know, big win last night, as you mentioned, Caris LeVert, 28 points, something like that. Definitely his best game as a Pacer so far. And hit that big 3 there at the end. So, yeah. Made a lot of people forget, you know, about the other guy who used to make those big shots to the Pacers. So we'll get more on him here in a little bit, but, yeah, I was pleased with the win. You know, obviously I wish we could have beaten them by more, but it was a close game, and a win is a win. And you got to win those games at home. Pacers are 8-12 at home this year, so that's not going to cut it. They have a better road record. They're over 500 on the road this year, which is pretty shocking. They've had, I don't know how many years now, whatever the streak is, they've had a winning record at home. So that's in jeopardy. But they have a good chance to climb up in the standings now. But my counterpoint to that, you know, a little bit here is the trade deadline today. I feel like a lot of teams, you know, specifically ahead of the Pacers, as well as the Chicago Bulls, who are currently a game back, they definitely got better. Yeah. You know, the Celtics, they added Evan Fournier, and ended up doing kind of a shocking trade, in my opinion, trading Daniel Tice for Mo Wagner. That really didn't make much sense to me, but whatever. But I feel like they got better today. The Heat, obviously, I feel like got better today. They added Oladipo for pretty much pennies on the dollar, only trading Avery Bradley and Kelly Olynyk. And looks like they're set to sign LaMarcus Aldridge in free agency. And then the Bulls adding Vucevic, you know, adding 2 all-stars to that roster now. So, yeah, the Pacers decided to stand pat. I mean, I kind of expected it, but it was a little disappointing because this team definitely has some moves they need to make. So, what are your thoughts about, you know, how these standings have shaken out, you know, where the Pacers currently are at, and how these deadline moves can impact the seedings going forward for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I think it's hard to say how Fournier is going to do in Boston. I mean, they just vastly underperformed everyone's expectations. Fournier tweeted, "Boston's fans, if you've never heard of me, Google my name," which is, if you Google it, it's some kind of penis infection is what Fournier means. It's a gangrene, acute neurotic infection of the scrotum, penis, or penenium. So he's kind of shooting back at Boston fans that are disrespecting him online, which happens everywhere at this point. So who cares? But the Heat definitely got better in my eyes too, which is a little scary because we know we can never beat them. And Oladipo, you know, just never really got it going with the Rockets. I mean, what, they lose like 20 straight or something abysmal.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, you know, so they were never the team we had to worry about, but just the Bulls getting Vucevic scares me. I mean, we had to play Vucevic all the time, but now that they've got seemingly some competent organizational skills around that team, and they made a push for Lonzo Ball, which we've seen what he can do this year. He's vastly improved. MIP, in my opinion. I'm thrilled they didn't get him because I've never really had to worry about the Bulls post Derrick Rose. And, you know, now this team's looking like something that could be, and they didn't really have to give up much, in my opinion, for that either. So as far as the big moves in the East, I think you'd give it I think Bulls 1, Heat 2, Celtics 3, and then I'm probably forgetting a couple moves in there somewhere. But, you know, the Pacers just stood by and they waived LaQue. So we didn't get better. The plan, you know, from a fan's perspective was always get fully healthy. You don't really need to make a lot of trades. And then the season happened, you know, and we underperformed, had some injuries. So we were thinking maybe something would happen. But, you know, moving Sabonis or Turner, I feel like you're going to need some time to think about it and move around. So maybe it's more of a off-season move anyway. So I'm still optimistic that something will get done before next season. Let's be honest, we're not winning the title this year. We've been saying that for a while. We just want to see progress. We just want to see good things happen. We want to see TJ McConnell do the My City when LeVert hits a beautiful step back. Like, as far as fans go, I'm fine with that now. If we can keep this level of play up and continue to show signs and get better, get Warren back healthy. I mean, there's a lot still to be optimistic about, even though we've seen the negatives that can happen. So it's this give and take with Pacers fans right now. We'll be around 500. This team is too good not to be in the playoffs. I still believe that, especially with LeVert now. So I'm still somewhat optimistic, way more so than I was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and I mean, I wasn't expecting any game-changing or earth-shattering moves by them today, but I am a little disappointed that they didn't do something. It just feels like the same tune every year where we, you know, pretty much stand pat and we get swept in the first round. So
yeah,
it kind of looks like that's the trend we're headed on right now. But like you said, we're not winning a championship this year, but if we could at least see, you know, this team take, you know, maybe a risk, a little bit of risk or something like that, make a little move, you know, just to rejuvenate this fan base right now. I think they really missed the mark today because, I mean, there were players to be had that didn't cost much. You noted Vucevic. I mean, he was traded for Wendell Carter Jr. and Otto Porter. You know, Carter Jr. was a higher pick a few years ago, but he's definitely not performed up to the standards that the Bulls would like him to. And Otto Porter, you know, I feel like he's on a bad contract. He's likely going to get bought out by the Magic. I feel like he's a little bit overrated. So there's not much that they're getting in that deal, in my opinion. And then obviously they're getting some picks, you know, as well that the Bulls are sending out to them, but you're acquiring an all-star. And that's what you have to do, is you have to pay draft picks and you know, good young talent for that. And then Fournier, I mean, he was dealt for 2 second round draft picks.
Yeah. And then like the move that just happened a little bit ago is Redick and Melly for two bench guys and a second round pick. I mean, we have more second round picks than anybody, I feel like. And those are two shooters that, you know, we could have used. I would be interested to see if we even explored something like that. It seems like we probably didn't. So that's just another deal. You know, going down the line, I'm looking at all these. Marquise Chris has been traded. I don't even know for what. Kyle Lowry stayed put. That was kind of the big hubbub today, was where he was going. Ended up not going anywhere.
Yeah, don't forget about Aaron Gordon. I mean, the Magic unloaded three guys. Gordon going to the Nuggets. And, I mean, it's probably a decent package that the Nuggets threw together for him. But still, I mean, I would rather be on the Nuggets side of the trade. They dealt Gary Harris, RJ Hampton, and a first-round pick for Aaron Gordon, who, you know, isn't an all-star by any means, but he's a serviceable, you know, number three or number four on your team. So there was just a lot of deals that I'm thinking to myself, you know, that didn't cost much to get, you know, this player. Why didn't we try to pursue that, especially when this team needs some wing help and some shooters off the bench? And, you know, you got guys like Aaron Holiday, who's out of the rotation right now. Why couldn't we look at, you know, trying to, you know, look and see what we could get for him now? Because if he doesn't play the rest of the season, we're not going to get anything for him next offseason. So,
yeah, I mean, I've been on the let's get Aaron Holiday out of here for a while. I've seen people complaining he's sitting on the bench. Well, I mean, he got 7 shots up against Milwaukee and he missed them all from what I saw. So that experiment has run its course, in my opinion. And I bet you could have got another second rounder for that.
And Sumner has been severely outplaying him. He's been playing great off the bench.
We didn't even mention him, but he got 18 last night, probably a career high.
Yeah. I think he's got somewhere in the 20s, but 15, you look at 15, that's kind of where you're looking at. You just look at him as a 15-point guy.
Yeah, definitely.
Norman Powell, who there was a report that came out that he was – the Pacers were interested in getting him in the offseason and overpaying for him, which doesn't really make sense to me. He was traded to Portland for Gary Trent and Rodney Hood. I felt like this trade was pretty even. I do think Gary Trent's a solid player. Rodney Hood, I mean, you know my thoughts on him. You know, Jake's big Rodney Hood guy. He just sucks in my opinion. But, you know, I like this move, I think, for both sides. I don't think it really hurts either team, and I don't think it significantly makes, you know, the Blazers much better.
No, I don't.
But, yeah, I mean, just I'm going down the line.
That's a guy that you want to overpay for in the offseason. You think that, you know, maybe we try to get him on here in the regular season so we wouldn't have this problem. Because the Norman Powell, he's had a great year, and he's a wing player that can definitely help. But then almost with LeVert and Warren, like you'd have to maybe move Warren at that point, which is fine. I mean, it's better to have all these options than none of these options, you know?
Yeah. And can you tell me what the hype is about this? Is it Talen Horton Tucker? Talen, Talen, whatever his name is.
THT?
Yeah, THT off the Lakers. They were refusing to put him in a deal for Kyle Lowry, which that's kind of, I think, where, you know, the deal had held up at. They didn't want to get rid of him. And I think he had a couple good preseason games, but other than that, he hasn't played much this year. It just seems like his stock is so high because of, you know, Lakers fans on Twitter acting like he's, you know, the second coming of LeBron James or something.
Yeah, the THT hype started last year in their first round playoff game. I think he came in and hit 5 threes in their first game against a shit team. You know, those weren't serious minutes, but he got some role playing minutes and he hit 5 threes. And he's big, athletic, and he can get to the rim. And I think a lot of people look at that and say he's just raw talent, raw talent, raw talent. But he hasn't been able to spread his wings necessarily yet in L.A., but they see something in there. And, you know, they're an organization that wins titles. So, you know, maybe they know something we don't.
Yeah. The Hawks and Clippers doing kind of a meaningless deal, but Lou Williams going back home to Atlanta with all the strip clubs.
Yeah.
Getting dealt to the Hawks in exchange for Rajon Rondo and a couple second round picks. I think, yeah, no, Lou Williams had the second round pick. So the Hawks got a couple second round picks in that scenario. So Lou Williams getting up there in age. He's not as, you know, explosive as he used to be, but nice little homecoming for him there to go back home and attend those strip clubs on a regular basis.
Yeah, get those lemon pepper wings from Magic City. I mean, that's what he's known for doing.
And this is another guy that I thought, well, why didn't the Pacers try to explore this, especially considering Nate Bjorkgren's relationship with the guy? But Terrence Davis, who I know has had some legal issues, but he seems like a decent young player, and all he was dealt for was a second-round draft pick from the Raptors to the Kings. So that one didn't really make sense to me either. It just feels like there's a lot of solid young talent. I felt like that was dealt for pretty much nothing.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I wasn't that surprised just because this is what we've come to expect. And, you know, giving up, I don't even know what to say at this point, because it's just, it's deflating, but at the same time, it's predictable. So I'm not that upset about it, because this is what I saw coming all the way. But it would have been nice, you know, other than just waving Jalen McHugh, to get a guy like Terrence Davis or get a veteran in the locker room. I mean, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the buyout market and we're going to get somebody that, you know, no one else necessarily wants, that maybe will help us a couple games, but it's not going to make a big impact. And that's kind of where we've been at.
Otto Porter Jr.
Yeah. God, don't say it.
I see a lot of people on Twitter praising him and wanting him to come in here. And then I also see a trend for Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. It's like, these guys are, you know, they're decent players, and there's no reason that Rondae Hollis-Jefferson shouldn't be on an NBA team. I mean, the guy can't shoot worth the shit, but I mean, come on, guys. These guys aren't game changers.
Yeah. I was watching The Jump earlier, and they were acting like Kyle Lowry was, you know, Gary Payton or Steph Curry. It made no sense. I mean, he's an average point guard. And like Jake says, if you look around the league, teams don't really need point guards. And if I stack up Kyle Lowry, he's not even in my top 10 point guards. Yeah, he's a dog and he's a good player. He won a title because some guys got injured and Kawhi Leonard, you know, was there. He's not necessarily – before that, he was always a bust. So, I don't know. The value on guys in the NBA always blows my mind, whether it be too high or too low. Like Kelly Olynyk, for example, it's baffling.
Yeah, and speaking of Kelly, I mean, he was traded along with Avery Bradley and a draft swap in exchange for Victor Oladipo. from the Heat to the Houston Rockets. So the Houston Rockets had that deal earlier in the season where they ended up taking LeVert from the Nets, flipping him to the Pacers in exchange for Victor Oladipo. Things obviously didn't work out. And Oladipo just pretty much got traded for a bag of chips and some socks. I mean, there's this was a, you know, I just don't understand Houston's thought process here. Why on earth, even from the beginning, did they want to go get Victor Oladipo when they had a good young piece on their roster in Caris LeVert? They knew they weren't winning after they traded James Harden. They knew they weren't going to probably make the playoffs, you know, in a deep Western Conference. And what do? They trade for a guy who's coming off a major injury. They trade a nice young piece for him, and then they trade him a few months later for dog shit.
Yeah, he gets there, and immediately the first thing he says was, "I don't really want to be here." like, way to shoot yourself in the foot, Houston. I mean, Houston has swung and missed big the last couple of years. I mean, from Chris Paul to James Harden, Russell Westbrook, John Wall. I mean, they literally go for the home run every time, and it never works.
Yeah, and I think I was mentioning this earlier in the chat. There's no other team, I think, that's in a worse place right now than the Rockets.
And that's maybe why, you know, that's the argument against Pritchard, why he doesn't do some of these things. We still have draft capital. We look around and we see a lot of guys that we think have potential to be traded, at least for seconds, you know, what we already have. So there's two sides to it. And, you know, we still – I think next year – we talked about it, is Pritchard's make or break year. And I thought it would be this year, but if we make the playoffs, I think it'll be next year.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. We already know the NBA and NHL is in full swing. The women's and men's college basketball tournament is in full swing with Sweet 16 and Elite 8 action right here, right now, this weekend. And so is the $100,000 Bracket Madness contest at BetOnline. It's the spot to be for all your bracketology needs. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Can you believe that? It's free. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's right. If you put $100 in, you get $50 in free bets. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. If you're not buying your sneakers from eBay Sneakers, what are you doing? I literally spent $300 on sneakers today. I bought the Air Max 90s, the Stan Smith Greens, and some low-top Nikes for the summer. From rare dead stock to the latest release, you can find the exact sneaker you've been looking for on eBay, the original sneaker marketplace. eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. In partnership with eBay, Armchair Media will be raffling off 4 custom-made sneakers. Each purchase you make before March 31st through ebay.com/sneakers will enter you in a drawing for one of one pair of Air Force One low tops. Just send a screenshot of your purchase to @armchairmedia on Twitter or Instagram. With eBay's authenticity guarantee, your sneakers are meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators, so you know you're getting the best deal and the best sneaker every time. ebay.com/sneakers, and it's free to sell sneakers on eBay. Up to $100 and over sneakers are sold for free on eBay. So get there, buy, sell, do whatever you got to do. Do it now. eBay.
Yeah, I don't see anything happening this year regardless. Yeah, you got a new coach and the injuries, and TJ Warren still has to come back, which there is a report that he could be back before the playoffs, but still, I mean, he hasn't played since December. Yeah. So people are going to expect him to come out there and be himself right off the bat, but it's going to take him some time to get back to form, and we likely won't see, you know, actual TJ Warren in action, you know, playing as himself until, you know, next year. So I see a lot of fans relying on that and saying that, you know, online that, well, we got TJ Warren coming back, you know, it's pretty much like adding another piece, but I mean, let's pump the brakes.
Yeah.
He hasn't played since December. He's coming off a foot injury. He is going to take some time to get back into the fold. He's not just going to come out there and drop 55 points. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that's not happening.
Yeah, I mean, we were at that Bulls game when Oladipo came back. He looked absolutely awful until he hit the shot that tied it. Took LeVert 7 or 8 games to have the game he had last night. I mean, he showed signs, but you definitely just can't come back from an injury of something that significant and just play your ass off and play ready to go. We all know that.
Yeah. But yeah, they ended up, they didn't make a move about 40 minutes ago. They waived Jalen Lecque, who had, I think I saw he'd play a total of 12 minutes this year, all in probably garbage time. So wasn't really an impact player for the team. Didn't have any plans for the future for this guy. So I'm not sure who's going to be on the buyout market or whatnot, but I mean, at this point, that's kind of a, you know, a telltale sign there that, you know, they're going to pursue somebody to bring in here off the buyout market. And that's kind of their plan, you know, for this offseason, to add another guy. Rather than make a trade, they want to wait and see who becomes available. Back in 2018, it was Trevor Booker. Back in 19, it was Wesley Matthews. I don't think they did it last season. So last it seems to be like,
yeah, you're right. They didn't do it last season.
Yeah, it seems to be Pritchard's MO is, you know, getting a guy off the buyout market. And I don't know who that's going to be. Could be Otto Porter Jr. You know, whatever. I mean, he's a decent basketball player, but he's not game changing. Hopefully it's not Jeff Teague. I saw he's getting bought out. Hopefully it's not him. We've already been and done, you know, we've had that experiment. We don't want that again. And plus he's gotten way worse since then. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they plan on doing with this team. But I think, you know, we both can agree they need to look at getting a player who can shoot mostly, because that's what this team lacks is shooting. I mean, obviously you want a guy who can play defense and can create their own shot, but I don't know. This team lacks a lot of shooting, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, last night with Sumner hitting four, which was wild, and then LeVert hitting four was probably their better shooting night, and it took kind of almost a miracle game for that to happen. So do you think Lance Stephenson is even an option with that roster spot? Because last year the rumor was, you know, he might have been signed right before the pandemic is what people were saying.
Well, yeah, so I guess we could use that as last year, since the pandemic kind of screwed that up. So Lance would have been the signing event at that point. I don't think they're going to bring him in. I don't really see a fit for him on this team. He can't shoot. Yeah. The only thing he would do was light a fire under the fan base's ass. He's a guy that, if, you know, they ended up having, you know, if they end up having, you know, more people come to games, he's a guy you bring in to get, you know, asses in the seats. So if they can add more people to come to games, that's why they would do that move. But I just don't see a fit for him. As much as it pains me to say, I mean, you already have TJ McConnell off the bench who, you know, I would rather have in that role. And then a couple other guys. So yeah, I don't see that happening, but I see there's a big movement on Twitter right now that's saying Lance Stephenson come back to the Pacers.
Yeah, there's a lot of – Twitter's just been going crazy lately. I've been seeing articles that, you know, some of the players on the Pacers don't necessarily jive with Bjorkgren. Have you seen those articles?
Yeah, it's – you're not going to – everything's not going to be perfect. I mean, these guys had played for a coach, you know, for – you know, several years, and I mean, they ended up eventually, they got him fired, especially Malcolm Brogdon. He was very vocal in getting Nate McMillan out of here. So it seems like those two have a good relationship. Not everything's going to be easy. Things are changing for them. Something they used to do in the past, Bjorkgren doesn't want to do. It's like, I don't expect everything, you know, to just be a smooth ride. There's going to be issues along the way. But it seems like these people on Twitter are just kind of overblowing things.
That's what Twitter does, yeah.
Yeah, and there's no chance he gets fired at the end of this year. No. I mean, he's got a lot to prove, don't get me wrong. There's still a lot that he has to prove. He's a rookie coach, and obviously he's going to make rookie coaching mistakes. But I think it's a little premature to say that he's lost the locker room when he's only been the head coach for like 3 or 4 months. I mean, come on, people. Yeah, I know we're pessimistic on this podcast, especially Jake, but let's have, you know, some realistic, you know, expectations.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that's all overblown and just clickbait stuff.
And it's funny because the video of Victor Oladipo now is resurfacing on Twitter, where he did a post-game interview after winning for the Rockets. And he said, you know, it just felt like a good place for him, because going through his career, it feels like teams kept quitting on me. That was after the Pacers traded for him. which really meant he just wanted to go to the Miami Heat all along.
Yeah.
That's what that comes down to. Report now, 30 minutes ago, Chris Haynes, multiple teams eyeing Otto Porter Jr., who's headed to Orlando as a potential buyout pickup for the veteran forward. Plans right now are to remain with the team, but he could be bought out.
Yeah, listen, so I don't like Otto Porter, but I mean, for the right price, he is a good defender still. I mean, for all else you can say about him, it never worked out in Chicago necessarily, but I don't really know if he can even shoot anymore, but you know, it wouldn't be the worst option is what I'm saying.
Let's just say it would match this team's identity because all they ever do is get hurt. They have a lot of guys who just can't stay healthy. So this would just add another guy who's always out. And I got to say, I was kind of hoping the Pacers would have brought back, you know, Thad Young in this trade deadline.
I was thinking about that. Even we were playing the Bucks. Giannis wasn't playing, obviously, and they still blew us out, a game we didn't talk about because fuck that game. But that was the one guy when he was on our team. I mean, Giannis would still get 25, 30 points, but he'd have to earn it, and we'd be in those games because of him playing defense. So I think if you're a team in the East seriously considering it, like, it's kind of crazy that – I don't know. Is he going to get bought out, do we think?
I don't think he'll get bought out. I think they would have looked at moving him.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he was available, but it just makes so much sense because I feel like he's like that four that the Pacers desperately need right now.
Yeah, I mean, I never thought we should have let him go. I mean, him and Bojan, that year was so fun, and then, you know, the next year happened, and then we let him go. So, still kind of hurts.
Yeah. So, looking ahead on the schedule here, let's get back to more Pacers action before we wrap this thing up. Actually, we've got some text messages here. Let's see if Jake has responded. He has said that he can record around 8 o'clock tonight. So... That's not going to work out for him. I hate to say it. But looking at the games ahead, Pacers travel to Dallas tomorrow night on Friday to play the Mavericks. The Mavericks have, in my opinion, have underachieved this year. I think I predicted them to be a 4 seed in the Western Conference. Right now, I believe they are sitting at the 7 seed. So they still got some work to do there, but you know, they're a formidable formidable team. It's going to be a tough game. Always seems like it's a tough game when we play in Dallas. And then they obviously have Luka. So that's going to be a tough game there for the Pacers. I think tomorrow night, not sure that we're going to pull that one out, but if you look ahead, next week, Pacers play at Washington. The Wizards have been piss poor all season. And then a big game coming up that we're definitely going to have to record after. Next Wednesday, March 31st, Victor Oladipo and the Miami Heat come to Indianapolis to square off against the Pacers at 7 o'clock p.m.
Let's go.
So that's going to be a big game. Pacers are 2-0 against the Heat this year, which is weird to say.
Shocking.
We could not beat them last year except for a garbage game that we beat them in, you know, where nobody played, but that'll be an electric game. Do you think the fans there, you know, very limited fans, do you think that he's going to get booed?
I think it'll be a mix. I think the cheers will outweigh the boos. Like I said, it was never a Paul George situation. You know, he kind of backstabbed us at the end. So maybe it just depends on the fans there, I guess. You know, Indy has a history of booing through Paul George, Andrew Luck, Victor Oladipo. So I wouldn't be surprised either way. It'll be interesting to see.
I think if he comes in as a Houston Rocket, I don't think there's any boos. But now that he's a part of the Miami,
that's true. The Heat does add a new element
all along. A team that the Pacers have, you know, historically had a rivalry with the last 10 years or so. A team that, you know, that rivalry's kind of been sparked up, even though they've been beating our ass more than we've been beating theirs. I think, you know, now that he's on the Heat and, you know, this is kind of what Pacers fans thought all along, is he just wants to go to Miami. He ends up getting his wish. So, yeah, if I think he was on the Rockets, I don't think there's any chance. But now that he plays on the Heat, I think he's about to get smoked.
That's a good point. I mean, if I was there, I would 100% boo. So I would hope everyone else would too. And if you're listening to this and you're going to that game, please boo. I mean, just do it for me.
Yeah, and people I see too, like, they're wishing him success. It's like, well, shoot, I hope he has a healthy career and he plays for, you know, another 10 years, and not wishing any ill will on him like that. I mean, he came back from a major injury, but, like, I'm not going to be mad if he only averages like 8 points a game. Like, that would make me happy.
Yeah, and if his team loses 20 some games in a row, that's going to make me happy as well.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not going to wish for him to go out there and average 40 points a game, win MVP, and win a title. Like, I want this dude to stink. Like, I don't want him to be good. I want, especially now that he's on the Heat, like, with the Rockets, I didn't care. Like, I don't even know what he was averaging there. Like, who cares? But now that, especially that he's on the Heat, it's like, no, dude, I want you to average 5 points a game. I hope you have continued health. You play another 10 years, like I said, but I hope next week when we play you, I hope you have 0 points and you go 0-30 from the field, because that would make me happy.
Do you think if Harrow had the year he had in the bubble that this deal would have happened? Because there was rumors that the Lowry deal, they wanted Harrow and, you know, Miami wouldn't give it up. Obviously, I wouldn't have done that either. But do you bring in another guard like that, a playmaker like that, if Harrow has the year he had in the bubble? Do you do that?
Just because he struggled this season is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, based on what they paid for him, I think it makes sense regardless, even if he was playing, you know, like he did, because they gave up nothing to get him.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much no harm, no foul. And even if, you know, Hero was playing like he had been last season, you could even bring Oladipo off the bench. You might not be happy about that, but I mean, this roster, I mean, they're set up pretty, like, I don't know what they're going to do, because you have Goran Dragic.
All right, we're back.
We're back recording now?
Yep.
Yeah, so they have Goran Dragic, who I'm not sure is healthy right now, who's their starting point guard, at least was last year in the bubble and had a great playoffs. Then you're likely going to have Oladipo at the two. You are going to have Jimmy Butler at the three. You're going to have LaMarcus Aldridge, who's going to sign with them at the four. And then Bam at the five. So it's like, they're going to have to bring Duncan Robinson now off the bench, as well as Tyler Hero. So it's like, I don't know, I guess it's kind of maybe just like a test run and see how Oladipo plays to finish this year out, because they have some good young talent now coming off the bench. It's like with Duncan Robinson, I feel like he needs to play with, you know, a guy like Jimmy Butler and Dragic and all those guys. I think he needs to play with those guys on a regular basis. Is he going to get those minutes with those guys off the bench? I mean, he could definitely take a step back, you know, not getting as much playing time and then playing with some of those bench guys. So don't get me wrong, their roster is definitely, I feel like they have a, you know, they're not going to win the East, but they're definitely, I feel like, a top four team in the East easily.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe even top three, but, yeah, they got a lot of decision making to do now, because they have a lot of depth at that wing position.
Yeah, and you know, Pat Riley seems to just keep doing good things. So he got Oladipo for cheap. That they're probably happy about that. So whatever.
Yeah, and I mean, just complete stupidity from the Houston Rockets. I just will never understand that. I know I mentioned it earlier. It's baffling to me. But anyways, enough about Oladipo. Hope he beat his ass next week. I do want to say, so I was saying the schedule's promising. Looking ahead, this is the month of April, 16 games, few back-to-backs here. But let me roll through some of these opponents. We got the Charlotte Hornets without LaMelo Ball. You have the San Antonio Spurs, Chicago Bulls, Timberwolves, Magic, Grizzlies, Clippers, Rockets, Jazz, which is definitely going to be a loss, but still. You have the Hawks, Spurs, Thunder, Pistons, Magic, Trailblazers, and Nets. So very favorable schedule for the Pacers starting next month. And hopefully, you know, they can take advantage of that and go maybe like, you know, 11-5, 10-6. I think that'd be a good spark for them going into May to finish up the season.
Yeah, that's definitely possible with that schedule. I mean, against the Jazz and the Nets, those are probably losses. But any of those other games, I think if we play well, we can win. So it's definitely the dark days of the season, I feel like, maybe are past us. And so hopefully, you know, from here on out, we play well into the playoffs.
That's for sure. Hope so. So that's all I have for today. Do you have anything else you want to add before we close this up?
No, just fuck Sam Sinclair. He got exposed on Twitter. He's a piece of shit, like we all knew. And we just got back from Vegas last week. That's why you haven't heard from us. We had a good time out there, I'd say.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, didn't make any money, but didn't lose any money really. So, you know, you can't complain about that. But, you know, nice to see some March Madness action there. It was cool to see that. But yeah, getting back to the swing of things back here at home this week has sucked. And then considering, you know, I was up all night on the toilet for 5 or 6 hours last night, proceeding into this morning, it's been a rough, you know, 16 hours for me. And I'm feeling a lot better now. I can't complain. I think it's just one of those quick stomach bugs. A lot of people are making the joke saying you have COVID. I don't think it's COVID because I get this at least once a year, usually from children. As creepy as that might sound, I think my daughter gave it to me this time. I got it a couple of years ago from my niece. And then a few years before that, I got it from some punk ass middle school kid that played at a local school. They had a bunch of sickness going over there when I was coaching. So I've gotten this several times from kids, and unfortunately, you know, it hurt getting it from my niece. I will say that, but when you get it from your own kid, I mean, it sucks. So I'm kind of pissed off at her, but I think I'll get over it because she's only like seven months old. So, but yeah, it's been a rough, I won't go into details. I'll spare you guys the details on how, you know, my last day has been, but it's been rough. I never usually call off work and I couldn't go in today. I absolutely could not. So, but
yeah, I am here for you guys. Could have shit through a screen door, as I like to say.
Oh, there is absolutely no question about that. You know, had the toilet and the trash can method going on at the same time for several different times. I was up about seven times. So yeah, it's been rough. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. It sucks. And, you know, I've gotten it out of the way for this year. And now I got, you know, maybe another 12 months before I got to have this happen to me again. So.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad you're doing better.
Yep, absolutely. So, all right, that'll wrap this up. I appreciate you guys tuning in. And we will be back here shortly for some more recaps of the games. And for sure, we'll be back on after that Miami game. I'm just praying to God it is not a blowout loss. I want something fun to talk about. I don't even care if it's a close loss. If it's a blowout win, hell yes. But we are going to be psyched up to beat Oladipo's ass next Wednesday. So appreciate you guys tuning in, and we will talk to you guys soon.
See ya.